We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Do you know what's scarier than Jason Voorhees? Jason Voorhees in the dark. What's scarier than spiders? Spiders in the dark. What's scarier than a root canal? Having a root canal in the dark. Scarier than clowns? You guessed it, clowns in the dark. What's scarier than a comb over? A comb over in the dark. What's scarier than leaving your kids home alone with Miley Cyrus? Add darkness, it's way scarier. What's scarier than surgery? Surgery in the dark. What's scarier than doing your taxes? Lights off, way scarier. What's scarier than selfies? Selfies in the dark. Running for your life? Well, it's way scarier in the dark. Everything's scarier in the dark.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Redemption Church. We are so glad to have you here today. Although I can't see you because the lights are on, I am blessed by your presence, and we'll see each other in just a second. My name is Pastor Scott Fain. I'm the youth pastor at Redemption Church. If you're here for the first time today, you have missed out on a lot of really good preaching the last month. We've had some really good messages about darkness, and they're all available on our website. You can check that out on the screens after service, or we can tell you all about it. Just ask us. But we've been talking about darkness for weeks. The first week, we talked about how scary it is. Darkness is scary. And it's not just scary. It's about that fear. That fear, it's not unnatural, because the dark can be dangerous. The dark, bad stuff's in the dark. Not just funny videos, but bad stuff is in the dark. It's not like simply tripping and falling over my son's action figure dangerous. I mean, there's bad stuff in the dark. And we touched on that in week two because of the fact that we talked about demonic activity and about the fact that there is all these scary things, and there's reasons that it's dangerous in the dark. And the enemy prefers darkness, right? Demonic things happen in spiritual darkness, and we are / should be children of light. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we are the light in the dark places. Then last week we had our good friend Pastor Vitaly Kiesel from Mykop, Russia, come and talk to us, and he shared about the light that they're spreading through their very dark landscape of Russia. That's joyous news, but that joyous news is to be expected because of the fact, and this is what I'm here to tell you today, light wins. Light wins. Darkness is scary, but no matter how scary the darkness is, light wins. So, today I'm going to encourage you through scripture and preaching to take that winning light and spread it around. We're called to shine the light of Jesus into our own lives and then be a light to the dark places. I'd like to begin with a short demonstration. For that demonstration is dark. For that demonstration, I'm going to show you something. This is a room. This room is dark. The camera probably cannot see me very well, even though it is a great camera. But if I create some light, you would be able to see me. All your eyes adjust. You could probably use a large portion of this, see a large portion of this room from just a little light. And that's because the very essence of darkness is the absence of light. When you add light to it, it's not dark anymore. Let's talk about a lit match. I will do that. Okay, so we have a lit match here. And it stayed lit. Good. This is comparable to trying to get light and hope in situations that aren't necessarily sustainable, right? We have things like addiction, right? They make you feel good for a while, but this match is eventually going to stop burning and it's going to burn my hand, okay? Right? We all understand that? Comfortable with that? Good. I can see from all of your faces that you know exactly what I'm saying. Wonderful. There is pleasure in sin. There is comfort. There can be safety. If I go out and buy a shotgun and shoot everyone in my neighborhood, I could enjoy some sort of a modicum of safety because of the fact that nobody would mess with me. But at the same time, that's only for a little bit because there is justice, right? Pleasure lasts only for a season. There is safety that lasts only for a season. Whatever you get out of that sin activity, it only lasts for a season. There is a better light than this. Let's see here. Oh, that's better. I see some of your outlines now. That's great. Love it. I can see my sermon right now. That's also good. It's bonus. Obvious, there are benefits to this light, right? I can direct it, and I can look out, and I can see the stairs. I can see where to go. I can take this light, and I could put it in the middle of a room and probably have a conversation with you and figure out whether you're incredibly mad at me or not. I would be able to see it. And again, this will not burn me in its current state. And so this is a better light. Amen? This is like being a good person, right? So the first one is finding something that lights your fire, if you will. That is good, but it only lasts for a little bit. This is more sustainable. Let's say this is like being a good person. Again, this light, the light of being a good person, can get you a lot of things. It can help you with a lot of things. But even though this is a good light, there is a better light. Amen? Okay, let's see. How about we turn all the lights on here? All the lights are up. That's much better, right? I could go over and try to play bass if I wanted to, because now I can see what I'm doing. I could do jumping jacks. No. Although the internet would probably love that. It'd be a meme in like 2 days. I could do jumping jacks without fear of dying. I could do all kinds of things in this light, because this light is better, right? Let's say that this light is somewhat similar to, for instance, the sun, right? The sun is a better light. The sun is better than this. But even though the sun is this incredibly bright thing, and if the sun was in here, we would all burn to death. But if the sun was in here, it would be much brighter in here. Anywhere where the sun did not cast its rays would be dark. There are still shadows, correct? Right. For instance, half the world is in night, you know, right now. So there's that. So we've got time that is done differently. Even though it's this great power source of light, it is limited in its influence. The sun gives life, plants and stuff. The sun gives life. If we lost the sun, we would be in trouble. But we lose the sun over the evening every day. It's limited. And let's say that this life that is lit up but still has shadows and darkness despite the influence of the Almighty Sun, that is like being religiously committed to something. That's like being upright in character, right? It's good, and it sure does light up things. It makes it easier to do things, right? If you are to what they call a higher path in other religions, it is generally believed that that's a better thing. A better light would be the sun over a camping lantern. And as great as any of these lights are, even if you have religious living and commitment and upright behavior, there is still a better light. A lot of places stop preaching at that part and they're like, yeah, so get religious. Woo! Not me. As great as any of these lights are, they only make darkness manageable. They make it easier for us to deal with the darkness, right? This helps me not fall on my face. This, I hope, becomes something more than just a match in my hand. This lights up the building and makes it so we can do everything we do here on stage. These are not permanent solutions because there is a better light. John 8:12 says, he said, he is Jesus, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. They will have the light that gives life. Jesus is the light, and if we walk with him and he walks with us, we will not walk in darkness. And that's a good thing. Do you have some traces of darkness in your life, perhaps? You know, not necessarily something you're walking around with, not walking around holding a crack pipe or something like that, but the secret little pet sins that you keep to yourself. Is there some shadow in your life? Whatever that be. Pride. Maybe you're just not as on as you should be in situations where you should be on. Maybe there's some shadow in the life. And Jesus removes all darkness because Jesus is the light. Jesus wants to obliterate the darkness that's inside of you today. Amen? Jesus, it's not something magical, although it is very remarkable. It's practical. And it's practical that now that we have light, now that we see this light in our life, now that the darkness is taken up by the presence of the light, it's practical that we would bring that and we would bring that to others. We would take that peace and safety into the darkness, right? Because we don't want other people to just die and languish in the darkness. And we want to take ground in our situation. We need to bring Jesus to the darkness so he can destroy it. We are called to do that. So if you hate the dark evil that's in this world, this is a lesson for you today. If you hate the sex slave trade, which is far more expansive than you think it is, it's far more expansive than they tell us about on the news. It's dark stuff. It's terrible things. If you hate child abuse, if you hate war, if you hate the fact that people die senselessly, if you hate murder, if you hate war by your home in your streets, if you hate corruption in things, if you hate greed and personal people just one-upping each other and doing things that are shameful to get a leg up, if you hate all these things that we're talking about, all these bad things, then that's darkness, and you don't like darkness very much. Can we agree that we don't like the darkness? Only Jesus can remove that darkness. And Jesus is the light that we're carrying. We are called to carry light into dark places. Matthew 5 is one of the most instructive marching order-esque chapters in the Bible. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is telling us what to do, and three verses are devoted to this topic. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are called to carry the light into dark places. We're called to let our light shine before others. My original idea for this was to somehow have a white zoot suit and to somehow take these black lights and make them bigger and then just be like, we're called to be light. And then I would just glow and radiate. But unfortunately, our zoot suit budget is not big enough. I take a large suit. But seriously, we're called to carry the light into the dark places. You know, there are dark places we may not want to go, right? Dark things you don't want to mess with. There's self-righteous folks that might think that they should avoid that out of fear or because of the fact that the dark is icky, right? Ugh. A self-righteous person is interested in themselves. We're calling you to be righteous, not self-righteous. A self-righteous person has no desire to go to hurting and broken people because a self-righteous person is only worried about... Thank you. And that makes sense to me because of the fact that a self-righteous person isn't saving anyone. A self-righteous person cannot save anyone. And put it plainly, the only person who can save anyone is Jesus. The only light that's bright enough to cast away shadow is Jesus. He's the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith. And that's why we need to bring Jesus into dark places, because he's the only catalyst to change such things. A self-righteous person does things because of how good they are, and a righteous person does things because of how good Jesus is. Liken it yourself to this. A self-righteous person is like someone in a sweet glow-in-the-dark t-shirt. They've been around the light long enough to charge them up so that when they walk, they're still glowing because of the fact that they're a glow-in-the-dark t-shirt. You've been around the light long enough to charge you up, but if they don't carry Jesus with them, inside of them, if they don't become Christ to the world, then you just end up in the dark again because it wears off. We're not calling for you to put on Jesus like some sort of a special garment. We're calling you to become Jesus. We're calling you to allow Jesus to penetrate your being and just speak through you, to live through you. That's what we want. That's what we're thinking about here. You know, for people who follow Christ, he's obliterated the darkness inside of us. And his light is within us, and we are that light. It's not something we wear or something extra that we carry like a flashlight, but we're light because the source of the light is within us. When I say we're called to carry the light to the dark places, I'm not talking about charity to promote goodness and warm feelings in the entire world on a global scale. I'm talking about bringing Jesus Christ to somebody. Because Jesus Christ is the only catalyst that can change people. You know, Pastor Kiesel was correct last week in stating that sometimes you have to care for the physical needs of people so that they're able to be ministered to spiritually. If you are hungry because you have not eaten for weeks, not because of the fact that you skipped lunch on your way to church today. If you're hungry because you have not eaten for weeks, it would be hard to pay attention and to really open yourself and listen because it's difficult in situations like that. So I'm not poo-pooing missions work whatsoever, but the most philanthropic, charitable thing that you can do to somebody is bring them Jesus. And this is great for you, my righteous brothers and sisters, because I'm not calling you self-righteous. My righteous brothers and sisters, because if what we're supposed to do is bring Jesus to dark places, that's easy because it's dark around here. Not just in this room where I still can't see anyone's face because of how bright the lights are in the darkness. But it's dark in the world around us. It says in John 3:19-20, this is the verdict, this is our scripture. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. People living in darkness ain't going to come into the light. We need to bring the light of Jesus to them. What does that look like? If we bring Jesus to them, he's also referred to in Scripture as love. Bringing true love to a community will break up division in that community and bring peace. Bringing Jesus in the form of love will obliterate darkness. It can't exist in the same place that Jesus is. Because with Jesus as the light, there can be no shadow. Planting the changing light of Christ into people will shine so brightly as to remove the shadows that are in their hearts. We need to know where the darkness is when we think about it, right? Because when I said it's dark, you probably thought, oh, well, Syria, they're routinely killing Christians in Syria. So that's a dark place. Or you probably thought, oh, Pastor Kiesel said it was kind of dark in Russia because they get beat up by various other religious sects and things like that. Or you thought, oh, communist-controlled and repressed North Korea, they probably are having a darkness there, but there's darkness all around you. There's darkness everywhere. Because wherever there is no light, it is dark. Wherever there is no Christ, it is dark. And so we're called to bring him to those places by loving the people that are in those places. And no matter how dangerous it seems, we can be confident with bringing light to them. Because why? Because light wins. This is week 4 of our sermon series. This is the wrap-up, and I'm here to tell you that light wins. We've talked about darkness. We've talked about how reprehensible and unpleasant and dangerous it is. But that doesn't matter because the light of Christ wins over all of it. So praise the Lord. And praise the Lord that we get to bring that transforming, life-changing power to somebody. Praise the Lord for that. You know, it says in Revelation 21:23, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the lamp is its lamp. The Lamb is its lamp. Excuse me. Jesus is the light in heaven, and we know that heaven is eternal. And so we know that Jesus, who is constant, will be with us all the way through to eternity. And in even greater capacity, as he's going to light everything. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything will always be bright and glowing like it is in the Arctic during summer when the sun never sets. I mean, maybe it does. But it means the darkness of this world will be gone. No shadows, no sadness, no suffering, no senseless violence. All of those things will be gone. And I'm looking forward to that day. Good people won't get sick with bad diseases. Families won't get torn apart. People won't struggle with addiction, with fear, with loneliness. Wars will cease. Light will win because light wins, and the light of Christ wins completely. And so, as we look at all of this, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, this sounds really good. This sounds like a good thing. I want to hide this in my heart. No. No. It's dark here, but this darkness in this world, and I'm not talking about the room you're sitting in right now, but this darkness in the world around us, people maiming their children, terrible things, people getting robbed, or, you know, all these things. I could go on and on, but it's nasty to talk about. This darkness will go away, and we'll be left with that glorious light that is Christ Jesus. People need to know that, amen? People need to know about this. Your friend who isn't sure if they believe in God anymore needs to know that a relationship with Jesus is available to them today. Your dad who's all quiet about his faith because he's unsure about things needs to know that he doesn't need to hide in the shadows of doubt when Jesus' perfect love casts out all fear. The kid down the street who keeps getting in trouble needs to know that the laws of sin and death don't need to have a hold on him. The person who you paid for gasoline on the way here today, no matter who they were, what they looked like, whether they were of a different nationality, whether they had a tattoo or a weird piercing you've never seen before, or something like that, that person needs to know that it's not going to be dark forever. That person needs to know that the pain and suffering will cease because the Lord is good. The Lord gets a bad rap nowadays, huh? A lot of people talk about the Lord. Oh, the Lord is testing me or doing something bad to me, or the Lord allowed this bad thing to happen. The Lord is good. And in the end, we're all going to see how good he is. And I don't want to be foolish enough to not tell somebody about it. Jesus wins. Light wins. The darkness is scary, but we don't need to fear the dark because the person that we roll with is Jesus Christ, and he is bigger than it. And the people that you know that are afraid because they don't have someone with them need to know that Jesus is available for them today. Jesus is available to you right now in your time of sorrow. Jesus is available to come into your life and change things drastically. Pastor Scott, that sounds good, but if he was, why haven't I had that happen yet? I don't know. Keep praying. Wait on the Lord. He'll renew your strength. That's what it says. I'll tell you, there was Pastor Marshall came up and preached a sermon a month or two ago, and he preached about something. I was like barely listening. I was having a weird day. My own personal stuff was getting in the way. But at the end of it, I just kind of looked up and I was like, hey, that gray area thing that I'm doing, it's not gray. If it's dark at all, it needs to not be around. And so I was like, oh, Lord, I got to change that. I got to figure that out. But then I was like, that drastically alters everything that I'm doing right now. And I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to change that? And the Lord provided me a way out. We were going to make a testimony video about it already to tell you, but I'll tell you right here. The Lord provided me a way out of it and a way that I could have that clean conscience that there wouldn't be a shadow in my heart about wrongdoings, but at the same time, that those wrongdoings would be gone because of the fact that God gave me right things to do. And so I'm thankful for that. And I'm believing that if you go to the person who's been telling you that their life isn't working out for them and you say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Why don't I talk to you about Jesus? Because you don't have to come to church to find Jesus. Why don't I start it today? Let's talk about Jesus. Let me tell you about what he's done for me. You know, that will bear fruit and you'll be able to harvest that. I believe that with all my guts today. I believe that we can bring Jesus to the people around us. Whether there's somebody that's your best friend, whether it's somebody you casually know, there are ways to slip Jesus into conversations with people. Am I right? There are ways. If you tell people you're a Christian, they basically come up and ask you about it, like regularly. We witnessed to a guy that's like one of my favorite random people in the world, like 2 weeks ago, and we said, hey, we all go to a church, you should come to church with us. And he said, oh, I don't believe in God, man. And we said, oh, that's okay. And then Marshall said, well, do you believe in Russians? Because we're having some come to our church. And the guy was like, oh. And so when we talked to the guy and we told him about the fact that, you know, Jesus was a relevant, active part in our life, you could tell that there was a little bit of respect for that. It was like, okay, cool. The doors are all around us, and all we have to do is knock, and you don't know who's going to let you in. And so in that way, there are people around you that are subconsciously begging you to share what you have that makes your life better. And so I encourage you to do so today. Call somebody you haven't talked to in a long time today. Tell them that you heard something at church that made you think that they could use that today. And if you don't personally have that in your heart, if you still have darkness, if you still have those little places that are shadows in your heart, man, today, the third thing we do at Redemption Church is we come to the altar and we talk to God. I encourage you to bring those heavy burdens and lay them down. I encourage you to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and look for his face and invite him into your life, because it's going to change everything that's going on for you. We've been made more than conquerors. That's what it says. And as righteous believers, our lives are brighter than some. But until we incorporate a personal relationship with Jesus Christ into our lives, then we will be missing out on a better light. If you're holding on to something, being a good person, if you're holding on to being a good person and you think that's going to get you through, there's stuff that's far away that you won't be able to see with this light. Agreed? Agreed? If, Lord help you, if you look at this and you think, wow, that's actually kind of like me and that's actually kind of bad, it is. Today's the day to do something. Change it. If there's shadows that are left because you're relying on a light that is not the perfect light that is Jesus Christ, today is the day. Today is the day to invite Jesus into your life. As the shadows disappear in our own lives, we need to share this light with somebody, right? We're charged to bring this light to the world. When was the last time that we were righteous and concerned more with the love of Jesus than we were with our own stuff? When's the last time that you got over your personal stuff to light up someone's world with truth? I mean, you want to talk about personal stuff? I can talk about personal stuff all day. My kid got up at like 2:00 in the morning yesterday and was up all night, and then he fell asleep for 4 hours and got up and was sick everywhere. That's why my wife's not here today. She's taking care of him. Little sick little baby, 3 years old, doesn't even know how to talk, can't talk, can't communicate, but he can sit there and cry and scream and hold his stomach. You know, that's terrible. It's no good. It's darkness. It's unfortunate. And that personal stuff can get in the way sometimes of us reaching out to Jesus. But light wins. Because even though my son's sick today, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, we prayed for him in this altar at this church, and since then his speech therapist has said that things are changing in his behind his eyes. You can see a noticeable change in his demeanor and how he's doing things. He's more dialed in than he was. And I look at that, right? And if I want to look at that and be, you know, busted up by personal stuff, I can say, well, that's a really cool testimony, right? But he, like, kicks my wife in the face all day because he's just, like, doing flips. But, man, Jesus is doing something. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. But someday he's going to say, I love you, and it's not just going to be a parroted thing. One day he's going to be able to talk, and we'll figure it out. And until then, I'm believing in Jesus, and I'm involving him as much as I can in my life. Because of the fact that Jesus Christ is going to change things. Light wins. Thank you, Pastor. I believe it, and even I should tell more people about it. I talk to people about dumb things all the time. I'm at the gas station, and I'm like, hey, man, did you hear that antibiotics don't work anymore? And the person at the gas station is like, that is a terrible thing. Why are we talking about it? I was like, I don't know. Just make a conversation. Right? How much scarier is that than talking to somebody about Jesus? Ulo. Light wins. Jesus wins. And so I'm charging us all to be what we said we were. Every single year, at the beginning of the year, we have a nice long sermon series. We talk about being a first century church to the 21st century world. And that first century church, they brought light into darkness. They did cray things. They did awkward things because of the fact that Jesus was such a part of their life, they couldn't hold it back. They didn't have time for fighting around with shadows because they were busy bringing people to the Lord. We got to start bringing love to people. We got to start bringing that light to folks. We got to get rid of that darkness. We do three things at Redemption Church. The third one, if you don't remember what it was, is taking physical steps to this place. Now, it's not to the stage because we're a Billy Graham crusade or something like that, but it's because of the fact that this is a place we've dedicated in our space that we rent. We've dedicated this space to seeking the Lord's face. We need to get real with Jesus and talk to God. If you're like me and you've been letting personal stuff and self-righteousness, darkness, get in the way of your witness, come up here and pray and ask Jesus to light up your light. Light up your life and cast out your shadows. If you're righteous, if you're doing it right, and Jesus Christ is that light in your heart and you want to share that with somebody, there's no shame with coming up here and praying for strength and boldness to share what you know with others. If you feel like you can't share love and share light in the darkness because you're dark yourself, that's okay. Come to this altar and find the love that's been waiting for you, and that light will brighten up your life. If you want to come into the first 2 feet of this area here, then we will pray with you. If you don't, we ain't going to mess with you. We will let you just have your experience with God. But if you come into the first 2 feet, we have our pastoral staff will be happy to lay hands on you and pray for you in the name of Jesus, that that light will come in and change your situation. Today is the day that darkness can be lifted. Who wants to be a beacon to their community? Who wants to be a beacon to their family? Who wants to become light and stop fooling around with darkness? You can go ahead and meet me down here in the altar, and we're just going to come
to Jesus.
Thank
you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.